Good morning and welcome to Henderson's First Baptist Church radio broadcast from Henderson, Kentucky. My name is Chuck Henderson and I serve as the executive pastor here at First Baptist, where we strive to make disciples who are Bible-centered. We seek to proclaim the gospel and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mission is to develop generations of God-glorifying disciples who, in turn, make disciples from the community to the continents. And whether that's in person at our church or over the radio waves, that is our goal. If you have any questions about God, salvation, or general information concerning the church, please connect with us through the internet at www.fbchenderson.org. That's www.fbchenderson.org. We would love to connect with you. But on behalf of the people at HFBC and our senior pastor, Sam Hinkson, we are so glad that you are joining us today. Here is our broadcast for today.
To show them the life that they're carrying. I will never forget, we had a client that came in, and she was abortion-minded, meaning that she was pregnant, didn't want to be pregnant, and was really thinking about ending that pregnancy. And what we were able to do with that ultrasound is, as soon as I put that little probe on her abdomen and she could see that life on the screen, she looked at me and she said, "My baby has legs." And I was like, "Yeah, your baby has legs." And she was like, "I have legs and you have legs and my baby has legs." And it was a really cool moment for all of us standing in that room that she connected that life that she was carrying was a life just like we had life. And so it was so cool, and it was just a blessing really for me even just to be a part of that really cool, like, that click that she had in that moment.
Good morning, 9 o'clock crowd. If you would consider picking up a bottle on your way out this morning, fill it up with change you have laying around the house and bring it back before Father's Day. It's life-giving. It will give life to you, and it helps all of these premature little lives. And Marsha's Place also serves to help these children that are born after they're born as well. So I'm going to lead us through a prayer this morning, praying for Marsha's Place. Would you join me? Lord, your word says that you tend your flock like a shepherd. You gather the lambs in your arms and carry them close to your heart. You gently lead those that have young. You are the most tender, the most nurturing, and the most compassionate. This morning we praise you for and lift up Marsha's Place ministry. This morning I want to pray protection from the evil one over their ministry, and above all, more and more opportunities to invite the mothers we serve to respond to the gospel. Today is a very special day to celebrate the blessings of moms, and while our hearts celebrate, we also ache along with the women who wish to be mothers and are not. Carry them close to your heart, Lord. Many here are also grieving the loss of a mother. May they find comfort in your compassion and unfailing love, for we know that you do not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. Before we continue on in worship, I offer up a prayer of thanks for my own mom, who has been my friend when I have had no friend and when I have had a friend. Thank you for the good gift of mothers, Lord. It's in your son Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. What a great way to celebrate our mothers and to pray for an encouragement of the ministry of Marsha's Place, but also to just the great ministry that happens through this church and through so many people that come in and have done so many great things over the years. As we continue in our worship, let me invite you to stand as we sing this great hymn of our faith, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Peace.
Continue in our worship through our giving back to what the Lord has so graciously given to us. I'm going to invite Pastor Chuck, if he wouldn't mind, coming and leading us in that prayer of blessing upon these offerings and tithes we're about to receive to the glory of his name. Brother.
Father, we thank you so much that we are a part of a church that is able to give instead of receive. So many around this world and even in our country are not able to do so. And so for the privilege of being able to be a giver to Marcia's Place and a giver to missions and a giver to various agencies that serve and perform justice ministries as well as gospel ministries. We're just so grateful to be in that position. And Lord, that happens through your people giving regularly. And so I just ask that you will bless us with that burden, that you will bless us with that realization of stewardship, that realization of privilege, Because we've been given much, we give much. And I just pray that that will burn in our hearts on a regular basis. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive. To gain, tell me what is your life, a mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to Christ, all glory be to Christ, my King, all glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing, all glory be to Christ. His will be done, his kingdom come, on earth as is above. Who is himself our daily bread, praise him, the Lord of love. Let living water satisfy the thirsty without price. We'll take a cup of kindness yet, all glory be to Christ, all glory be to Christ our King, all glory be to Christ, whose rule and reign will ever sing, all glory be to Christ.
Will you stand and sing this last verse with us?
When on that day the great I am, the faithful and the true,
all you, all for you. And Father, we thank you that we can praise your Son's name as we worship you in spirit and in truth. And now, Father, as we hear from your word, Father, we pray that it would go through our ears to our hearts, that, Father, we would leave here better than when we arrived, knowing you and praising you. For it's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated.
Well, happy Mother's Day, First Baptist. It is a wonderful day. It is a wonderful week that we have had. It's been a very eventful week in many ways. So many things have kind of come together, have joined together in this past couple of weeks with kind of leaking of the Supreme Court's decision, the baby bottle campaign, just a natural time of year that we always set aside in order to try and raise funds for our pro-life ministry here in Henderson. And then here we have in front of us the idea and the subject of motherhood that I want to try and go through some scriptures that I think will be relevant for our consideration on this subject. So I want to ask you, if you will, if you have your Bibles, to turn to the book of Proverbs toward the middle of your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 31, the very last chapter of the book of Proverbs. And some of you will be familiar, others of you will be less familiar. And we're just going to look at verses 25 and following here. So Proverbs 31, picking up with verse 25, where we read, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." I believe that verse 28 that I just read to you there was a very good summation, a very good kind of a theme verse, if you will, for the celebration of Mother's Day. Of course, I doubt back in the ancient Israelite times that they had anything called Mother's Day. In fact, it's a fairly new holiday, and many people kind of cynically, and I have some sympathy with them, say, hey, Hallmark probably made it up so they could sell more cards and flowers and candies and so forth. But I think it is a good time to just set aside each day and specifically give attention to those whom the Lord has blessed in our lives as mothers. Verse 28 says, "For her children rise up and they call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." And that's a good thing for us to do from time to time. And then it says on in verse 31, her works praise her in the gates. In other words, that this woman that is being described here in the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs is a woman who's worth praising. That what she has given her life to and what she has given her hands to and her efforts to are worth holding up and saying, you know what, this is a good thing, this is an awesome thing, and we ought to give veneration to it. And I think Mother's Day is a good time to do that. Her husband and her children are the ones who lead in that, all right? And so as any husband has ever known, it's really not about the kids, right? Especially when they're small. The question is like, you know, did you get the kids up and get them ready to honor mom on Mother's Day? But motherhood is not highly regarded everywhere in our society. In fact, some places, fairly powerful places in our culture, there are some very powerful voices arguing against the veneration or against the building up of motherhood. In fact, they say actually what's happening there is that we're capturing women. I was listening to a lawyer named Linda Hirschman who wrote a book, which I suspect none of you hopefully have read this book, but it was called Get to Work and Get a Life Before It's Too Late. And the subtext of the book, she says this is a modern manifesto for the women of the world. And what was the thesis that Linda Hirschman was giving to women now in the world? She basically said that women who prioritize motherhood have betrayed the women of previous generations. Because she's like, listen, our mothers and our grandmothers fought so hard in order to get us untethered from the home. In order to give us, what she calls it, we won independence from the home. So those who begin to kind of reconnect with their children, reconnect with the home, reconnect with motherhood, she says, in her words, motherhood is a step backward. Now, there are many people in our culture who probably wouldn't put it so strongly, but still, motherhood, we celebrate it on Mother's Day, but a lot of times it's not held up for much veneration. In fact, it's seen as something of a bondage. Now, as I approach this subject this morning, I'm aware of this. It's a subject that's fraught with guilt, potential guilt. It's a subject that's very quickly goes to the challenges and the difficulties and the sacrifices of motherhood. Those conversations are not hard to find, and there are a myriad of stresses and fears that plague this subject of motherhood in our present day. I probably have always done so, but they certainly do today. Because when you get this new kid, this new human being that comes into your life, and of course you're like, oh, this is awesome, this is a wonderful kid, but then you have so many things on your mind, don't you? The first thing is like, is he or she healthy, right? Is everything okay with them? And that's stressful. And then you have to go back for the, you know, every, I forget how many months, you know, you have to go back each time, and the doctor, you learn the dreaded percentile, right? Like, we all talk about the percentile. Oh, he's 98 percentile. Honestly, I don't even know what that means. I just assume, hey, higher is better, right? But we're just like, oh, all of a sudden we start talking about percentiles, or the 40 percentile for this and that forth. So we wonder, are we giving him the right nutrition? How do we feed this thing, you know, in order to keep him or her alive? But then, you know, after that, we make sure that they're kind of physically okay. We're kind of wanting to know, is little Johnny a moron, okay? All right? Because, like, you take little Johnny over to, like, you know, some, like, into the nursery or whatever, and, like, little Jimmy is over there reciting Shakespeare, and Johnny's picking his nose, right? And so you get a little worried, right? So there's stress, right? Moms, I mean, my daughter, we just spent a week with her, with our two grandchildren, our granddaughters who are 3 and 1. And even at that young age, you're kind of like, I mean, give them the sensory stimulation. Are they learning their ABCs? Are they on track? Are they acquiring speech? Are they walking the intellectual development? Man, so much pressure. But then even beyond that, there's the emotional regulation, because none of us come out of the womb going, you know, I'm chill. There's never been a baby like that. We all come just a ball of emotions, you know, and we have to try and help this child to regulate and govern and understand, no, it's not good to do this, you know, it's not good to do that. No, this is a great time for anger or for sadness or for happiness and so forth. And then even beyond that, because we're here at church, we're Christian people, we're gathered together. In fact, today, after this service, we're going to have a holy huddle where we're going to do a parent-child dedication. And so much of what that is focused on is like the spiritual formation of our children. Because we know, listen, we can have all of this other stuff, the physical and the intellectual and the emotional, but that brings so much pressure, especially many of you ladies, you feel that intensely as you bring these young boys and girls into the world. So there are plenty of times to see how tough and even broken this thing called motherhood is. And I realize, as I speak to a crowd this size, that not every one of you are going to have wonderful stories to tell about your motherhood. And not all of you are going to have wonderful stories to tell about your mothering, right? We all have those bad difficulties in our past. But today my agenda is to look at the beauty of God's design in motherhood. Because Proverbs 31 is, for many of you, but some of you are kind of familiar enough with Proverbs, where some of the ladies, you're like, oh my goodness, we're going to Proverbs 31. Are we really going to Proverbs 31? Because, and I say this in all honesty, I have known some ladies, some sisters in Christ, for whom this chapter really fills them with a lot of, fear? A lot of guilt? A lot of pain, perhaps? And if, for those of you who may be unfamiliar with it, like this last half of Proverbs 31, it paints this picture of the excellent woman. I didn't read all of it, read about the last half of it. And it's actually set up as an acrostic poem. You can't see that in the English, but in the Hebrew it's set up like ABC. So really, literally what this is the ABCs of being an awesome woman, all right? And so it's just set up like, I don't know how you are, but if I'm looking at some Adonis-looking dude out there, I normally don't go, yeah, I got that. A lot of times I'm like, well, that would be nice. Right? You can see how you're falling short in so many ways. And so we can come to Proverbs 31, ladies, right? And think, man, how am I falling short in this? Well, I'm not really doing so well in that, not really doing so hot in that. I have known women who have read this and come away feeling defeated, because we all fall short in so many ways. For the first thing I want to tell you is this. We shouldn't really be surprised about this in Scripture, because the Scripture is always holding up things to us that we don't live up to. Amen? Right? It's not just a concession to our sinfulness. The fact of the matter is that the Lord is always calling us to be what He has created us to be, which is, I want you to understand, better than what we are, okay? And we have to believe that the Lord is working in and through us in order to make us what He has called us and created us to be. The Bible is going to point out things in our lives that we're not living up to and call us to faithfulness and to obedience in those areas. And sometimes those are weaknesses that we would rather ignore. So Proverbs 31 is not exceptional in that way. But I want you to understand that for God's children, for the daughters that He has given birth to, not only physically but also spiritually, God's Spirit never uses these portraits or His commands in order to afflict us toward despair. His objective for you is never, ladies, to afflict you toward desperation or despair. It is rather to convict you toward discipleship, to convict you toward faithfulness, to see that that is what He is laying in front of you. So now this chapter that I read to you, it kind of refers to womanhood in general, and I would commend it to your reading, but I want to focus this morning on the implications for motherhood in specific, since it is Mother's Day today. And so I want you to see that, ladies, that in general, God has a design for you as women, as mothers, as the daughters of mothers and the granddaughters of grandmothers and so forth, and He is, in fact, working it out. This is not in any way for you to kind of take this on board, go, okay, here's the list of things that Sam is giving me to do, that God is giving me to do. This is a sense of like, this is how God, if you are a child of God, if you are a daughter of God, this is how He is working out in your life. This is the shape of motherhood that He has designed you for. So I want us to look at that. God has designed mothers to show His glory. Just like everything else in the world, He has designed mothers to show His glory. And I want us to look at three things this morning. The first is this: God has designed mothers to show His glory by giving life to us. By giving life to us. Now, this is kind of motherhood 101, right? In order to have to be a mother, you give life to a child or a boy or a girl, right? Now, God has given women a place in the creation of the world as bearers of life. And God has had a redemptive purpose in this thing, and I want to show this to you, this first point here. I want to show you this, the redemptive theme that God has had and the redemptive purpose that He has had from the beginning. I want to trace God's life-giving through two women. The first, of course, is Eve, the first mom in all of Scripture. Genesis 3:20 says this: "The man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living." Do you know that Eve's name literally means life? That's what her name means. The first woman that God ever made was called life. That's what her name was. You just look at that. That's life right there. Now, let me just tell you. So when we say pro-life, a lot of times pro-life is set in opposition to what? Women's rights. Isn't that interesting? Can you see the objective that Satan might have in turning women in specific against life, against the life within them? I can see the particular perversion that Satan can be about, trying to pit women against the children in their wombs when the very first mother of all time, the mother of all mothers, was named life herself. Now, that's chapter 3, where she's been created, and Adam's like, okay, life, there you go. But then look in Genesis 4:1. She kind of makes good on that, all right? 4:1 says, "Eve gave birth to Cain, and she said, 'With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man.'" So gave birth. She was the first woman to ever give birth. Let's just set that in for a minute. Ladies, God, isn't that crazy? The first one to ever go through this. I was thinking back on this before Abby was born. Heather got this book, and I don't know where she got it from. Heidi Murkoff's book, and many of you will probably be familiar with this book, What to Expect When You Are Expecting. That book has sold over 17 million copies, okay? Many of you probably read it yourself. You might have thought it was great or not, whatever. But that's just one of many books out there. You go, there's a whole section out there. What to expect when you're expecting? What's going to happen to your body? How do you do? What's going to change over the different trimesters of birth, all right? Imagine the strangeness of giving birth for the first time, and you're just out in the wilderness with nobody around but your husband. Anybody ready to sign up for that? Okay? So when it says she gave birth to Cain, she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. She says, listen, with God's help, I did this. And now a little the cheeky part of me goes, it's interesting, Adam didn't get a mention, right? It's not like she said, well, God help me, and Adam, man, I just got to give this guy props. He was really Johnny on the spot right there. Now, I know it's an argument from silence, okay? But I'm just saying, I can guarantee you this. Whatever was going on that day when Cain was born, I know this. Adam didn't do one thing right, all right? He did not do one thing right, okay? And in fact, here's another kind of just an operating sort of a theory of mine. Do we really know where cussing came from, right? This may not have only been the birth of the first man, it may have also been that he might have been, honey, I don't even know what those words mean, okay? I don't have any idea what it is you are saying right now. And she's like, well, you get the feeling that I'm giving to you right now. But in all seriousness, okay, she's saying that you can imagine the strangeness of this. You're the first woman, you're having the first child ever, and she says, with the help of, isn't that precious? She didn't have a doctor. She didn't have an epidural. She didn't have, you know, Adam didn't know what was going on, all right? But she's keenly aware of needing God's help in order to get through what it is she's going through. You know, women just tend to be more religious, all right? Churches tend to have more women in them. Most of us can be just, hey, yeah. More often than not, it's the woman who... If someone's taking the kids to church without the other person, more often than not, it's the woman. You know, why is that? I don't know. I don't know for sure, but it may be because, ladies, you get a front row seat to what it takes to keep the human race going. You see, guys have kind of an option to show up for that event or not, right? In fact, there was one of my deacons at my last church. He elected not to because he was doing a car race that day while his wife was having their child. Why did I know that? Oh, I knew it. I was told that story, right? But women don't have an option about, you know, being there when the children are born. You kind of get a front row seat to what is happening, what it takes to keep humanity going. Childbearing is a participation in God's ongoing creation work, right? That's where people come from. Is from the wombs of their mother. And this process that began with our great-great-grandmother Eve, it continues through you ladies today, and it will continue till the Lord returns. But what I want you to see, this first point, is that there was more than physical life that was being given through Eve and through the giving of children through women. Eve was inaugurating a process that God promised to use to bring victory over sin and death. Okay, the very process, and I won't go into a lot of detail, but childbirth was not meant to be painful. But it's like, hey, this whole fallenness of man created pain in childbearing, okay? We're like, well, that's really horrible and that's bad. But God said, even in the midst of that painful process of bringing boys and girls into the world, that God was going to work in and through that process to bring a Savior. And we call this, I have it there in your outline, it's called the proto-evangelium. I don't normally give you kind of big words like that, but it's good for you. Just proto-evangelium. What does that mean? That means the kind of the first kernel of the evangel, or the first kernel of the good news, or the gospel of Jesus Christ there in Genesis 3:15. In the midst of all this curse language, like this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, God says this to Eve. I will put hostility between you and the woman. Or he's talking to the serpent, rather. He says, listen, you serpent, Satan, there's going to be hostility. There's going to be war between you and the woman. Okay? And part of that's going to mean she's going to have pain in childbearing. And between your offspring and her offspring. And then this promise is made. He, that's the offspring of the woman, will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Meaning that there is this ongoing struggle between the woman, her offspring, the children that she has, and then the offspring of the serpent, the offspring of Satan. The work of Satan and the work of the woman going and struggling back and forth. But this wasn't an equal sort of, it's just going to go on and on and on. It's like, listen, you strike her heel or the offspring's heel, but he is going to strike your head. He is going to crush your head. The promise that Eve's daughters would continue to battle with the serpent and to give birth in expectation. That's why we still call it, she's expecting, right? Isn't that interesting? You're expecting. You're expecting to have a child. But there was more than just the expectation of just more and more children. There was a greater expectation of a gospel-saving hope of a great serpent crusher who would come through this process. There's going to be children born to Eve, and there's going to be children born to Abraham and Sarah. There's going to be children born on down into the future until you get to this place of the second mother that we look at, which is Mary. You see, this is why it shouldn't come as any surprise to us that the inauguration of God's, it's like, listen, it's time for God to get on this business of saving the world. He's been setting up the circumstances, but now it's time for the main event to happen. It's time for the serpent crusher to actually be born into the world. And so the first thing that happens there is the saving work is announced to a mother. Luke 1:26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Isn't that an awesome message? Like, lady, I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, an angel is sent to your doorstep. It's like knocking on the door, like, "Yes, hey, my name's Gabriel, just came from heaven. You're favored. The Lord is with you. He's going to work in your life. Mary, God is about to do something wonderful in your life. He is with you." Now, I want you to ask this question, moms, and dads and ladies today, if an angel were to lead off with a message like this to a young woman today, what would we culturally expect the next thing would be out of his mouth, right? It might be, hey, you know what? God's going to use you. God's going to do some awesome stuff in your life. And then fame is going to come, and wealth, and power, and influence, and attainment to high office, and to technological innovations that you're going to bring into the world. And all those things will be wonderful. But what I want you to see is that the promise that Gabriel brings to young Mary is this. What is so favored about her life? What is so blessed about her life? What is going to evidence that God is with her? You have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. She was going to be a mom. That was the message. That was what was so favored. That was what was so wonderful. And it wasn't just, hey, you're just happening to have a child. No, this is going to be the Savior of the world. God has always valued life-giving women. It's a significant part of his design for them. But it's not a modern message. Back in 1990, First Lady Barbara Bush, George H.W. Bush's wife, she was scheduled to give the commencement address at Wesley College there. And it sparked a controversy and actually protesting of her giving the commencement address there. You may say, well, why? I mean, for any of you who are old enough to remember Barbara Bush, not a hugely controversial figure at all. But what was the controversy? Why were they protesting her giving the address? Well, they said, and I quote, "She hadn't done anything. Barbara, why should we want to listen to her? She hadn't accomplished anything in her life. She just was a mother and a wife." Can we ask the question of why does Mary merit any mention here? I mean, the scriptures could have said, you know, well, Jesus had a mom. You know, angel came to her. That's fine. You know, we don't have to really belabor that too much. It's like, no, it's got, I want to make sure you understand. This was really kind of a big deal. Why? Because God's son needed a mom. You see, here's the thing. We could say, well, God could have just caused Jesus to spring out of the ground. And no, that wasn't the point. The point was Genesis 3:15. This process is going to keep on going. Ladies, you're going to keep on, and eventually there's going to be this one who's going to give birth to the serpent crusher. It's through that process And I want people to know that this young woman heard from this angel, and what her response was really awesome. I'm really struck by it, where she's just like, let it be. The way you've said it, let it be. And man, boy, what she was on for in that. She didn't have any idea. And many of you can attest to that. You know, oh man, it's going to be so wonderful how baby have babies and, you know, kids and all the pitter-patter of little feet and all that. And you didn't know what you were getting into either. And so from you, it's like, you know, well, let it be to me as you have spoken. Motherhood played an essential role in God's plan to save the world. So God has designed mothers to show His glory by giving life to us. The second thing that we see, specifically here in Proverbs 31, kind of back to this passage, is by setting an example for us. Mothers, they show the glory of God by setting an example for us. Much of the Christian life is caught, you know, as much as it is taught to us. It's important that we speak to our kids and teach them, but they're going to catch up. They're going to catch on to a lot of things that we actually do. Actions, we know, often they speak louder than words. And look at the descriptions that are given to us here in verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Being a mother and being a woman is hard work. The scripture understand that. The Lord understands that. And if I got any young guys out there, I would just say this to you guys. I know, you know, oh, man, I'm really looking for some girl. You know, man, oh, man, she's looking good and all that. That's great. Okay, I understand this. But can I just ask you guys to meditate on these a little bit? Because you might not ask this question of that little honey that you're really crushing on right now. Does she know how to show up and do the work that needs to be done? Because I can just tell you this, however sweet she looks when she's just lounging on a Barca lounger and not showing up for work in life, not showing up for actually doing the things that life requires, it's going to take the shine off of that pretty quick. I just want to encourage you guys to think about that. Life is hard work. But the other thing I want to say, that's just to the young guys, okay? But to the ladies, God is working through you, all right? Your hardworking example is something that is seen. And sometimes it's not seen for a long time. Sometimes it's not seen until, not really seen until your kids are up and out of the house and then they start having their own kids and they go, oh, wow, this was a lot of work. And then they come back and they go, wow, Mom, really, thank you for showing up. Sometimes it's just showing up. And some of you might say, oh, man, I don't know, Sam, I fail in so many ways. I want you to, listen, this is talking about God revealing Himself and His glory through you. Don't let your confidence be in the perfection of your performance. Let it be in the perfection of your God. Let it be in the perfection of the God who has a hold of you. Do you want to be a blessing to your children and to those who know you? Then show them what it looks like when a woman loves Jesus more than anything else in the world. Can I just give you that encouragement? You say, oh man, I got this, that, and the other. On top of any of that other stuff, can you just go in your life and say, listen, I want to show the world what it looks like when a woman loves Jesus more than anything else. And then all that other stuff, you kind of put that underneath that. God is, once again, all glory be to Christ. We've sung it, and it's absolutely important. Some of you might be saying, you know, like setting an example. You say, listen, Sam, I mean, you don't realize the stuff that I've kind of messed up. Some of the bad chapters in my background. Or maybe you're looking at your own moms. Some of us, we look back and, man, my mom wasn't that. She wasn't clothed with strength and dignity. Maybe she was idle or what have you. Today is the day to commit yourself to being that kind of blessing. What? With the Lord's help. You can claim the words of Eve, with the Lord's help, I have done that. And the truth is that that's all any of us could ever say about anything we strive to do. Lord, I need your help. I can't do anything apart from you. And with his help, you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing under his hand and used by him. But I want to say this too. Because sometimes we can think about, well, you know, what if I haven't been able to have children, whatever, and I've not been able to be a mom. Some of you, or maybe you're like, listen, I haven't had the best mom. I want to speak to you who have had godly mothers. I want to speak to those of you who have godly mothers, good and godly mothers. Verse 29 says this, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Isn't that interesting? It's supposed to be this word that can be taken on the lips of every husband and every bit of kids. Guys, kids, your mom doesn't need to hear this from everybody. They just need to hear it from you. That's all they need to hear it from. That's the only person they need to hear it from. And I just want to say this. I don't know where you are right now with your mom, but if you've got a godly mom, can I just tell you, some of you here today, maybe, are breaking your mother's heart. You're breaking her heart. You say, well, yeah, how am I breaking my mom's heart? By hardening your heart to her God. Can I give you the appeal that I think she sometimes wants to give, but just knows that that's hard to give? Is how you are breaking her heart by not loving her Savior. If you have a godly mother, oh, she'd love to hear you say, oh, you've done excellently, Mom. Others have done well, but you've surpassed them all. But if you really want to honor a godly mother, I can tell you the best way to do it is to love her Savior. That won't get you all the way to where you need to be, but some of you, that could be like, that can start you down that path to where you get to that gate, you get to that cross, you get to the Savior. Why does your mom love him so? And why don't you? Moms, you set an example for us. And the final thing, God has designed mothers to show his glory by teaching wisdom to us. Yeah, I reflected upon all the things my mom taught me to do. If I were to poll you this morning and say, hey, who taught you to make a bed? And some of you moms would be like, they don't know that. They don't know how to make a bed. But if I were to ask you, who taught you to make a bed or to read, to begin to read? Who taught you your ABCs? Who taught you to plant a flower? You know, my mom taught me how to write a check. Who taught you how to, you know, tie your shoes? The chances are really good your mom taught you those things. Chances are really good your mom taught you those things. I would suspect, I'd be willing to go out on a limb. I think throughout history, more people have learned more from their mothers than any other single source in the world. I think more people have learned more things from their moms than any other source. And I want you to remember that these words that we're reading here, so Proverbs 31:1, we didn't read this, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. The words that we're reading, they came from a mom. King Lemuel, we're not exactly sure who he was, but his mom was like, hey, son, you know, you want to be a good king, you want to be someone who honors the Lord, let me give you some advice. And these are some things she laid down for him. Our moms teach us so many things, but what I want us to see here and what she is trying to put in front of him is they teach us so much more than just our ABCs or our grammar or how to tie our shoes. There's two things I want us to consider just as we close here. The first is this, is that they point us toward knowledge and virtue, or they ought to. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You know, God has given us a beautiful world. And there's just a particular, in my experience, now please don't crack back on me too much, but in my experience, man, ladies, you love to make things beautiful, right? My boys went off to college and they lived in dorm rooms and apartments, and then my daughter went off to college and lived in dorm rooms and apartments. And I just know that walking into those two spaces, the space full of a bunch of 20-something guys and the space full of a bunch of 20-something girls, they looked different. Can I just tell you that? They looked different. I walked into my daughter's, you know, as a suite full of six girls there, young ladies, and like there's little stockings, and there's all these little homey touches all around everywhere. And then I walk into my boy's apartment, and it's just like, it's like a spore culture that's growing on the tabletop over there. Socks everywhere, all right? There might have been like a Wonder Woman poster up somewhere, but that's about it. Ladies, you love to make things beautiful, and I praise God for that. But you know what? As beautiful as the physical, aesthetic things are, the moral and the spiritual and the heart things are so much more beautiful. Teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Nothing is more beautiful than kindness and godliness and faithfulness and wisdom, and nothing is wiser than trusting the Lord. That is a beautiful thing. Those are beautiful realities. Those are beautiful, that's beautiful knowledge that you give and that you put out into the world, and it makes the world a better place. It makes our homes a beautiful place. It makes this church a beautiful and wonderful place. But the final thing is this, is that they teach wisdom to us by pointing us to faith. And I want to give you one example of this, the example of Timothy, this young guy, and Paul. The Apostle Paul, Timothy was kind of one of his co-workers. And in his letter, he says there in 2 Timothy, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, right? A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Right? So there's this idea that faith, my grandmother pointed my mom to faith, and my mom pointed me to faith. It just keeps going down. But the question is, I want us to ask this question. How did this get passed down? How did this faith come down to Timothy from Lois to Eunice and then on to him? Was it just by osmosis or just environmental? You're like, hey, man, a lot of stuff's caught, not taught. But then look here. On later in this letter, in 2 Timothy 3, he says, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for what? Just living a good life, making a lot of money, having a great career. That are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Our moms, please hear me. Please hear me. God wants to work through you to bring the glory of the knowledge of faith in Christ Jesus to your kids. How did Timothy know the scriptures that tell him his own sinfulness? How did he know the scriptures that tell him that there is a Savior who has been given, Jesus Christ, that faith was what was required to connect with Christ, to give the life that we have, that he would give his life for us? How did he know? How did he know these scriptures from childhood? It's because his mother and his grandmother, they taught him. Moms, ladies, point your children to Christ. Point your children to the Savior. And I want you to see what is said here, because as I come at this question of motherhood, so much of it, and not just motherhood, just everything in general, it's like, man, the future seems so intense and so scary. What am I supposed to do with it? Look at verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Fears the Lord. The beginning of wisdom, we're told, is to fear the Lord. There are so many things in this world to fear, and we find occasion to fear so many of them. But can I encourage you in this way? Don't fear the Lord. Fear Him above all things. If you begin with that, you'll never go astray. I didn't have a perfect mom. She would have been the first to admit that. In fact, she was racked with a lot of guilt about failures. There were many times my mom sat me down on in my adulthood, she would apologize for different things, different ways that she felt she had failed me. So I can't stand in front of you and go, you know, man, I'm just thankful for the perfect mom that I had who never fell short in any way. But there was a period in our lives where we just really weren't going to church. We always kind of grew up in church, but we, you know, kind of getting that, you kind of get out of the habit. We were out of the habit. The Hinksons were out of the habit. And I was about 14, 15. I'd been baptized. I'd walked an aisle, you know, all that kind of stuff. My mom could have said, hey, he's been baptized. He's done that. He's on the church rolls, all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. I was lost. And it was pretty obvious if you were paying attention that I was lost. And you want to know one of the things that I just thank God for in my mom? Is that she loved me enough to be afraid for my soul. She cared enough, and she knew enough to think, I've got to get this boy back in church. We've got to re-engage. We've got to reconnect. She could have just gone on. She kind of, and she had plenty of things to distract her. And once again, my mom was not perfect. But she knew enough to say, you know what? Something's not right here. And I thank God for a mom who feared God enough and feared for me enough to say, we've got to get back. You need to hear the truth and just the hope that something's going to lay hold of you. And by God's grace, it did. And I genuinely was saved. Can I just tell you that I think that one of the most precious things that the Lord ever uses in our lives is the tears of our moms. And I know that there are probably some moms here today who have shed more than their share. Which is why I want to end with this verse, verse 25. I want to point your attention to it. It's the very end of that verse where it says, she can laugh at the time to come. Man, isn't that nice? You look at the future, as scary and as fearsome as, you know what, strength and dignity or her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Isn't it nice to think about that, ladies? Like, you know, it might be hard right now. Things might be getting really chippy. I might not know what's going to happen here or there. Or all these things are just weighing on me. But there's a kind of promise here, right? Those who feared the Lord, those who are following Him, those who are trusting in Him, there's going to be a joy. There's going to be an expectation of the future. The world is scary and the future is too. And so you say, well, Sam, how can I laugh? How can I have this kind of joy? And I would call you back to this. It is the fear of the Lord. You may not know what the future holds, but you can know who holds the future.
The preceding broadcast is a ministry and property of HFBC. Please feel free to share it with anyone, but please do not change, alter, or charge for it. If you have any questions about anything, please submit them by going to our website at www.fbchenderson.org and then click on the I'm New link on the homepage. And please join us next week right here on WSON as we continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe, people, and nation. May God's blessings be upon you from Henderson's First Baptist Church.